Saints, we are in the book of Proverbs today, in chapter 31, specifically verses 30 through 31 of Proverbs 31. Now, I hope all of you dear mothers in the congregation are not wilting within your hearts now as we turn to Proverbs 31 and you think, oh no, here we go. Time for a guilt trip, right? Now the pastor is going to hold up the perfect woman and he's going to make me stand next to her and see all the ways that I fall short. Let me say a few things in response to that. First of all, Proverbs 31 is not describing a perfect woman. Proverbs 31 is describing a sinful woman who fears the Lord. All right? Understand that. Okay, ladies? No, I'm not going to tell you here this morning that you need to be perfect. I'm a Christian. I don't believe it's possible for human beings to be perfect. Christ alone is perfect. So don't sweat it, sisters. Okay? The other thing I want to point out to you is that this is the first Mother's Day sermon I've ever preached in my entire life. I've never done it before. Well, why not? Don't you like moms, Nate? I love moms. I have one myself. I'm married to one. I like moms. The reason I've stayed away from Mother's Day sermons in the past is because I just have a bad taste in my mouth from the ones I've heard previously. They're usually, no offense, a lot of sentimental drivel. A lot of sentimental drivel that's not good for very much. And I'm a sentimental guy, but I am not a sentimental preacher, you see. So I wouldn't be able to make a sentimental sermon work very well. I wouldn't be able to pull that off. So I've stayed away from it. But then it dawned on me, it's possible to preach a Mother's Day sermon and a sermon about moms without getting sentimental about it. It's possible to preach a sermon on motherhood and make it a fight. That's how I see preaching. Preaching is combat. Preaching is fighting. It's waging war with the sword of the Spirit. And I realize I can certainly preach on motherhood and wage war at the same time on behalf of moms. And we do need to wage war on behalf of moms, saints. And the reason we need to do that is because we live in a culture and in a society where motherhood is under siege. It is under siege. And I'll get into that here in a little bit as to how motherhood is under siege. But it is. The family is under siege. Children are under siege. Right? So what do we do? How should Christians respond to that knowledge? How should pastors respond to that when they see mothers are being under attack? And moms, I'll say this too. You know you're under attack. You know that. Because you feel like you're a weirdo in this culture. Now, why do I use that word? Because a sister, a dear sister, used that very word to describe moms earlier this week. She said, we're the weirdos today, right? Now, why do you feel like that? Why do you feel like outcasts in our society? Because motherhood is under siege, and enough is enough. It's time to fight back. It's time to fight back. How do we do that? Well, here's how I want to do it this morning. I want to encourage moms. I want to encourage moms. Because I think being a mom is a lot like being a pastor in some regards. Right? It's not the same, obviously, but there are some similarities. You know, one of the key similarities I think we can see between pastors and moms, you don't always see the difference your work makes. It's hard to see whether or not you're actually making a difference because your work is drawn out over time every day. And sometimes it takes years before you actually see the fruit of your hands, as we read in Proverbs 31:31. Sometimes it takes a time to see that. Same's true for pastors. Same's true for a lot of vocations we might think of. But moms, that means you need encouragement because we live in a culture and a society that's telling you you're wasting your life or you're less than you could be because you're a mom. So I need to tell you what God says about what you're doing. And what God says about you and what you're doing as a faithful mom in the home is that you are changing the world. You are changing the world in a far more profound way than you ever could as a CEO or as a professor or in some other role outside of the home. By being a mom, you are doing the most profound thing you can do. Really? Yes. I want to read to you from Proverbs 31 now. I'm going to start in verse 24. Remember, this woman here is not perfect. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. The Word of God. This passage answers a fundamental question, a question that must be answered. What is that question? What makes a woman worthy of praise? What makes a woman worthy of praise? You need to answer that. And this passage makes it clear enough. The fear of the Lord. Here's the problem, saints. We live in an age that specializes. I think there's a degree in it at some university somewhere, probably. They don't call it this, but this is what they're doing. We live in an age that specializes in muddling what God has made clear. All right? And the danger there, because we live in this society that likes to take what God has made clear and make it unclear and murky, is that we may become muddled in our own thinking. We may become muddled in our own thinking. We may begin to walk around thinking to ourselves that, you know, this issue isn't so clear anymore. Perhaps the unbelievers who hate God have a point, right? So let's consider just for a moment how our society has gotten the answer to this question wrong so we may be assured to get it right. And again, the question is, what makes a woman worthy of praise? How has our society gotten this wrong? Well, as I already mentioned to you, God says that what makes a woman praiseworthy is her fear of the Lord. Now, as you've heard me say in the past, and I'll remind you now again because it's key to everything, we live in a secularized society that embraces secularism. And here's the thing with secularism. It does not begin with the fear of the Lord, does it? Absolutely not. Secularism denies the fear of the Lord. Scripture is, again, this is another clear point. Scripture says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Secularism says no, the beginning of wisdom is man, left to himself and his own reason and faculties. That's the beginning of reason. So it does not fear God. Secularism goes even further than that. It rejects him as creator. It rejects him as creator. And it takes the creation account of Genesis, which is true history, and replaces it with another myth, right? Or a myth altogether. The myth of Darwinian evolution, right? That is, by the way, that is the government-subsidized mythology that holds sway in our country right now, right? We call ourselves a secular society. Well, we have a creation narrative, if we want to sound very academic, and it's Darwinism. And our government pays for it and even mandates it in the public school, right? That's our creation narrative. And there's a reason why we want evolution, Darwinism, as our creation narrative rather than Genesis 1 through 3. Because when we reject God as creator, we get to reject, or we think we get to reject, his very good created order as well. What do you mean, Nate, created order? I mean what God intends for every element of his creation. His purposes for his creation. He has ordered creation in a particular way as its creator and requires that creation functions according to what he dictates. That's what I mean by created order. But when we deny that God is creator, we end up doing something to nature. You know what we do to nature when we deny God as creator? We end up making nature something that's mushy, right? And it's something that, because it's mushy, we can tinker with it and rearrange it as will. We can take that created order that God has established and rearrange it and reorder it according to our own purposes. This is what man does in his rebellion and in his sin. Paul spells this out for us in Romans 1. Especially in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 27. It's when man rejects God as creator and refuses to acknowledge him as God and starts tinkering with God's created order of things, you end up with perversions like homosexuality, exchanging natural relationships for unnatural relationships. Now, it's that rearranging of God's created order that has also left us with the terms like homemaker and housewife. Now let me stop there for a moment. You don't have to answer, but ask yourself this. When I say those terms, how do you respond inwardly when I say homemaker, housewife? You feel like I'm insulting you when I say that, don't you? Maybe a part of you goes, right? Yeah, you're laughing. Yeah, it is what you think when I say that. I know, because that's what I feel when I say it. And I'm like, Nate, stop it. The reason why I go, when I say homemaker and housewife is because I have been indoctrinated by our society. And I have to become de-educated or uneducated and have my mind renewed by the Spirit. Hence the sermon. But it's because of that rejection of God's created order and the adoption of evolutionary theory and Darwinism, that's why the terms homemaker and housewife have been turned into derogatory remarks rather than honorifics. And they ought to be honorifics. Do you realize that? Housewife ought to be revered. Homemaker ought to be respected. Now, if you're at a party, if you're at a cocktail party, if you go to cocktail parties, and you tell your friends there that, and you're a lady, that you have a PhD or that you're a CEO, well, wow. Wow. Right? What a woman. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a woman having a PhD or being a CEO. Don't hear me saying that, right? Hang with me for a moment. But that's the response. If the lady has, or MBA, that's another, series of letters. You put it after a lady's name, and everyone's like, wow, aren't you progressive, and aren't you a picture of what a woman ought to be, and so on and so forth. But here's the problem. Sure, wonderful, PhD, CEO, great. But if the three letters attached to your name are simply M-O-M, and that's it, what response are you going to get at that cocktail party? Probably. Oh. Oh. Well, that's nice. Good for you, sweetie. Right? And what do you hear in that when you get that kind of response from folks? I mean, my wife has gotten that response from people in the past. Right? And some of you wives sitting here have probably heard that kind of response in the past, too. What do you think when you hear that? Well, shame. You know what that person's thinking when they say that to you. They're thinking, what a waste. She could have been so much more than she is. She could have accomplished so much more, so much potential going unfulfilled because she doesn't have a PhD and she's not a CEO. She's just an MOM. Right? You ever feel that, ladies? I'm sure you do. That kind of thinking comes from the rejection of the fear of the Lord. I want you to understand that. That's where it comes from. It comes from defiance of God, rebellion against him. And here's the thing I really want to hit home. When God's created order is defied, when God is not feared, brothers and sisters, there is always a consequence. Always. And it's always the same consequence. Do you know what that consequence is? Death. Death. Wanton death and destruction. And that holds true for ladies who are merely MOMs instead of PhDs. When mothers are despised, something else happens. Do you know what else happens in a society where mothers are despised? Children are despised at the same time. There is an indelible connection between a society's honoring of mothers and a society's view of their children. A society that disregards moms and holds them in contempt, and I'm talking about homemakers, is also going to despise children. And do you know what that leads to? It leads to murder. It leads to murder. Because now, unborn children become impediments to a woman's achieving of true greatness. Rather than having life and giving birth being the very basis of her greatness, it becomes an impediment. And you know what happens in a culture or a society like ours where that kind of thinking is in place? It means that the murder of an unborn child becomes a praiseworthy act. It becomes a praiseworthy act because God's created order has been despised, because motherhood has been despised. Why am I painting this picture for you? Nate, where's the encouragement come in here? Because this is not a pretty picture. No, it's not. Mothers, I'm explaining it to you because I want you to understand that you do not want the praise of those who think like this. So if they belittle you and they ridicule you for being a homemaker and for putting your children before your career, then your response to them should be, so what? They're wicked. And that means they are wrong about you. They are wrong about you. You are not a waste. You are not leaving some potential of yours unfulfilled. You are fearing the Lord, and that is worthy of praise. That is worthy of praise. So moms, this is what I'm saying to you. I'm saying welcome the scorn and ridicule of the world. Welcome it. Don't be ashamed. Welcome it. You're doing well. If the world looks down on you for being a mom, you're doing a good job. You don't want them praising you. It means you are praiseworthy. Now, as I said at the introduction, one dear sister told me earlier this week, because I told her what I was going to be preaching on. I usually don't do that, but I went ahead and said it anyway. And that's when she said, well, moms, stay-at-home moms are like the weirdos today. And you know, that is true if we define a weirdo as someone who stands out from the norm, right? But I think there's a better term than weirdo to describe homemakers, moms who are investing all of themselves into the raising of their children and loving their husbands and working hard at home. And that better term than weirdo is reformer. Reformer. That's what moms are doing. That's what you moms are doing in our church. You are reforming. By embracing God's call upon you, you are reforming the church and the society, because this nonsensical thinking has worked its way into the broader church. And you are resisting that. You are standing against it. You are fearing God. You are salt and light. You're reformers. And be encouraged in this. The wicked always call reformers weirdos. Always. What did they call Luther? Well, they didn't pay him any compliments, did they? Right? You stand in good company, moms. So let the world despise you. You fear God. Keep doing what you're doing. Besides, it's hip to be nonconformist, right? Isn't that weird? Our grandparents everyone just stayed home. Mom stayed home. And now if you stay home and take care of your family and put them first, now you stand out. Now you're the nonconformist. When I grew up, that meant you were cool. Maybe that's not true anymore, but, you know, fight the power and all that. Now, so there's the first point of encouragement. So who cares what the world thinks? The world is wicked. You fear the Lord, moms. And in that way, you will change the world. Great, Nate. Well, change the world. Wonderful. Let me give you a bit more meat than that in terms of how moms, godly moms, can change the world. I want you to understand that there's nothing more important that you could be doing right now than what you are doing as a mom and raising your family. And it's very easy to point out to you how crucial what you're doing is to the church and to society as a whole. Here's a simple fact. Apart from mothers and their work of family building in the home, civilization collapses. It literally dies off. That's what happens. A civilization that despises motherhood and despises mothers will die over time. And sadly, that's what we see happening right now in the West. Our civilization is slowly but surely dying. Not just in the States, but also in Europe and also in Japan. I have some numbers for you. I usually don't go with statistics, but here, it's amazing. This is from the CBS Money Watch website. It's from May 7th of this year, just last week. How fortuitous, how providential. Here's the title of this article from CBS Money Watch. And the title alone tells you plenty of where we're at as a society, and meaning the West as a whole. Dropping birth rates threaten global economic growth. Dropping birth rates threaten global economic growth. Here are some direct quotes. This is a direct quote. In Japan, the sales of adult diapers will exceed sales of baby diapers this year, according to Euromonitor International, a marketing research firm. What? Adult diapers will sell more than infant diapers? How does that happen? It happens because a society is dying. And you know a society is dying when they're selling more Depends than they are Huggies. And the situation is not much better in the U.S. Here's another direct quote from that very article. In 2012, there were 22 people age 65 and older for every 100 working age adults in the U.S., Census Bureau data show. By 2030, not very far from now, that ratio is expected to climb to 35 older people per 100 workers. So you have workers, and then the ratio of older folks to workers is growing. That's not good, especially when you have socialized medicine and Social Security and so on and so forth as we do. That's very bad. That's heading for disaster for a society. So what's the root of this problem? Why is this happening? Why is Western civilization slowly dying off? I was stupefied by, maybe that's not right the word, surprised there. I was surprised by this quote that they connected all these dots in this CBS Money Watch article. Here's another direct quote. The drop in birth rates is rooted in the 1960s when many women did what? Entered the workforce for the first time, and couples decided to have smaller families because mom was entering the workforce, right? You can't have as many kids when you're entering the workforce. So more women working outside of the home led to fewer children, led to children being seen as a burden. And then overall, that comes, again, full circle, it comes back to the rejection of God's purposes leading to death. We see that happening in our culture now. That's what's going on. Now, these are not sunny figures I've given you, but I point them out to encourage the mothers among us. Because in these figures, mothers, the importance of your work becomes immediately apparent, doesn't it? Immediately apparent. We need godly moms for society to survive, and by extension, for the church to survive. We see now where you fit in the grand scheme of God's wise design, and we see what happens when we despise you. We end up dying. We end up selling more adult diapers than baby diapers. So here's what we need to recognize, and this is what we need to celebrate, saints. That civilization cannot be saved by women in pinstriped pantsuits with power haircuts in corporate America. Civilization can only be saved through godly families, and that requires having godly moms who fear the Lord and are willing to endure the mockery of the world in order to love her family and her husband and to serve them with all of her heart. So here's what I'm getting at, moms. Here's the encouragement to you. All that you need to do in order to make a difference in the world is to be faithful in your calling as mom. That's what you need to do. You don't need to be perfect. You don't need to go and accomplish something outside of the home. It's okay if you do, once the children are raised. Certainly fine. But understand, the greatest impact you can make for the sake of the kingdom of God is to do what God has designed you to do. And that is to be a loving wife and mom to your husband and to your children. So fear the Lord by raising godly children. Look well to the ways of your household, as we read up here in Proverbs 31. Do that with all of your heart. And I understand your calling as mom is a hard one. Being mom is incredibly difficult, especially when you're trying to obey Jesus and follow and be a mom at the same time. But understand, it is glorious. Motherhood is a glorious thing, because in all of your self-giving for your family, we see the reflection of Christ. We see his selflessness toward us exemplified in your selflessness toward your families and being poured out for them, which is really what you're doing every day as you're seeking to love your families and take care of them. So continue to do that, moms. You are changing the world. You don't see it right now, but through you, God, by his grace, is working to change his church and to redeem society. He is doing that. Trust him. You may not see the fruits of it in your lifetime. Leave that to the Lord. But do your work with joy. Don't listen to the mockery of the world. If they do mock you, it's to your credit. Fear the Lord, and he will give you the fruit of your hands. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for how you have ordered your creation. You called it very good, Father. And we thank you for it. Lord, we pray this morning in closing specifically for the mothers among us. Lord, help us to defend them and to encourage them and strengthen them as they minister to the families, their own families, and the families of this very congregation. Lord, help them to fear you and to do their work with all of their hearts. Help their husbands, like myself, to rise up and call them blessed and to encourage them in their work, Lord. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.